I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Deitch. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. This is a mini podcast. When we have a mini podcast, we often focus on viewership. And when we focus on viewership, we bring in our buddy, John Lewis from Sports Media Watch. John, good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you.
Thank you. All right, let's start with the NBA. This is right from your site. The first round of the playoffs averaged 3.14 million viewers across ABC, ESPN, TNT, True TV, and NBA TV. Down 9% of viewership from last year, but up 5% from 2022. Based on your site, this year's first round trails only last year in 2018 as the most watched in the past decade. Obviously, the big caveats are out of home viewership, right, not included in Nielsen's estimates until 2020. So big picture, what do you make of this first round in terms of viewership for the NBA?
I think the NBA held up about as well as you possibly could in a transition year. One win combined between LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant. Nine games combined between those three. Obviously, Steph did not play any. So, that's pretty good, all things considered. And beyond the fact that you don't have the traditional stars of the past decade, really didn't have a lot of good series. Knicks Sixers was really good, but, you know, didn't go the full seven. A lot of blowouts and, just a lot less competitive, certainly in the West, with, I think, two sweeps, one gentleman sweep, and then another one with the Clippers and Mavericks that, even though it went six, was a lot of blowouts. So if you're the NBA, if you had said before the postseason what this postseason would be playing out as, you would gladly take a single-digit decline for the first round and ranking pretty well historically.
What do you make of, like, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Mavericks? Those are from big cities. What are they, in your opinion, as a draw right now in 2024?
It's a good question. Obviously, the Celtics have proven that they are a draw over the past several years. I do wonder about the Knicks. Every Knicks game, you see all the big celebrities. Oh, my goodness, you know, Jon Stewart is there. You know, Ben Stiller, Tracy Morgan. But the numbers have always kind of been a little bit lower than you would expect, given how big the Knicks are in New York. An exception to that was Game 6 against Philly and Game 1 against Indiana. So the last two games actually did pretty well. And maybe that's a sign that because the Knicks maybe are perceived as being for real this time, that maybe the national audience is catching on a little bit more than it has. Like last year, for example, against Miami, that Knicks-Miami series was not a great draw. It was pretty mediocre. So maybe because the Knicks look like they're going to get to the conference finals, there's a lot of energy, a lot of excitement around their games, that it's going to be different this time around.
Yeah, and I think as a New Yorker, I think I'm guilty of overvaluing the Knicks a little bit. I do subscribe to the theory, though, that if New York ever got into a final, I do think that would pop. But maybe I'm being too biased towards the biggest media market.
Well, I mean, I will say, you know, the only two times the Knicks have been to the finals in the last 50 years, the viewership was down significantly times, right?
One is the Spurs, though, right?
Well, Rockets and Spurs. Now, you know, previous year both times was like the most watched Jordan final to that point.
That's right.
In 93 and then 98. So yeah, that's a big caveat. But the numbers were pretty, you know, subpar for 94 and 99. And,
what do you think of the Timberwolves as a potential national draw as Anthony Edwards sort of continues to rise?
I think that there's a lot of potential there, maybe not as much as there was when the Warriors were coming along in 2015. And that really went from people weren't really tuning in at the start of that playoffs for the Warriors. But once you got to the conference finals, it was a big, big tune-in that kind of sustained itself for years after, right? I don't think it'll get to that point because it's Minnesota. That's not the same market size as, you know, the Bay Area used to be anyway. And Anthony Edwards is electrifying, but Steph, in that Caitlin Clark way, changed the game. Anthony Edwards isn't playing, you know, he's not revolutionizing the game. So I don't think it'll get to that point. But I do think Minnesota, right now, if you were asking me who would you want to come out of the West if you're the NBA, you'd say Minnesota. Nobody's ever said that before.
I know. I actually find Oklahoma City really compelling, and I think they're a fun watch. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of the five best players, in my opinion, in the NBA. You know, they got a lot of young guys, Chet Holmgren, et cetera, but it's a really tiny market, and I'm with you. I think if you ask the NBA right now, I think, tell me, you might disagree with me, John, but I think they would say we want T-Wolves Celtics if we're rooting for viewership.
Well, I would say T-Wolves Knicks, because if the Knicks get there, you know, they'll have beaten Boston, and the excitement, the energy surrounding that, there's a high ceiling there. But you can't go wrong, Knicks or Celtics. If it's New York or Boston, the NBA should be fine in the finals.
Yeah, okay. Last one, and we'll do this quick. I'm going to have much more shows on this, obviously. But, you know, we're getting a lot of reporting now about the NBA deal. What seems very obvious is that ESPN will retain essentially a handshake deal with the NBA. So it just really gets down to, like, ultimately, like, what they air. Seems very clear that Amazon obviously is going to get a piece of this. And, you know, again, as we've seen the reporting, even if you're listening to this, John Oran said that from his sources, Amazon will get the in-season tournament and some play-in game playoffs. So nice package for them. So obviously we wait, see what happens with Warner Brothers Discovery and NBC. Wall Street Journal had a story where they cited numbers in terms of how much NBC is going to be bidding on the NBA. I'm talking, you know, massive number, over $2 billion. And, hold on here. I apologize for that. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Talking a massive number, obviously over $2 billion. And so, John, I mean, I think, you know, we're getting close to the end here. I think very clearly ESPN and Amazon will have the NBA rights heading forward. And now we're really down to, you know, whether Warner Brothers Discovery retains or NBC steps in and returns to the NBA.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty obvious that the WBD package right now, all things being equal, would be worth about what Amazon is reported to be paying, about $1.8 billion. But Comcast has offered way more than that and put WBD in a nightmare scenario of either having to severely overpay for a fairly unimpressive package or lose the NBA entirely. You said something on social media that I've been thinking myself, which is that if you're the NBA, you would much rather do business with Comcast than with WBD going forward. And to me, I agree. I think Inside the NBA is a great show. But the thing about a show like Inside the NBA is that it can be done elsewhere. Now, maybe it can't be done without Ernie, but a lot of people have said that, oh, Ernie won't leave Turner. I don't think Ernie would have to leave Turner to do Inside the NBA for Amazon, for example.
Right, sure, like a job, you know, share kind of thing.
Exactly. Carissa Thompson does it for Thursday Night Football. And we know the value of that studio team. If you're Amazon, you have no NBA infrastructure, and TNT loses the rights, you're going to use TNT's infrastructure to create credibility with the NBA fan base, starting with the studio team, but also including Kevin Harlan, Ian Eagle, all of those folks on TNT, Reggie Miller. So that's not necessarily me saying that's going to happen, but I think all the talk about EJ leaving is maybe, I mean, I don't know what he's thinking, but premature to me.
Yeah, so a couple of things there, just like, you know, my sort of what I put out on Twitter/X was that I think NBC heading forward is the better place to be because of reach, has a massive streaming service in Peacock. Warner Brothers Discovery, and let's be honest, really Turner Sports absolutely helped build the NBA. They've been an incredible steward. Their production is first class. Inside the NBA is the greatest studio show of all time. But ultimately, if you're Adam Silver, I think you have to think forward and what it means heading forward. The one caveat I would say, John, to your thesis, and you're not wrong philosophically, is I just think if Warner Brothers Discovery does lose the NBA, I do think NBC is going to go hard for Barkley. I mean, he's got a long-time relationship with Mark Lazarus, the first guy who hired him to be on air. And so that would be the sort of the X factor is that while everybody would want Barkley, I do think NBC would have a real shot at him. And then the real interesting question is, what does NBC do for studio programming? They already are set with Ian Eagle and Noah – Ian Eagle. They're already set with Mike Tirico and Noah Eagle as play-by-play people. You can always find analysts coming in, but that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. And again, you know, again, it's the NBA is massive in terms of TNT's affiliate fees. So I wouldn't count them out yet. I wouldn't count Warner Brothers Discovery out yet. But like John said, they're going to have to pay a ridiculous sum for not the A package. And that's the issue there.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right, real quick one on Formula One, John. I was kind of blown away by this. The Miami Grand Prix drew 3.07 million, largest F1 audience ever on US TV, and up 48% from last year. Now, I know they had an NBA lead-in, but man, I don't know if it's sustainable. And by the way, they also got like a new winner finally. Max Verstappen didn't win. But I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's not always an F1 number like pops to me, but man, that popped.
Well, you got to remember that NBA lead-in is not insignificant. Even though it was Orlando-Cleveland and on the low side for a Game 7, you know, you're still airing directly out of the NBA in a time slot that people are used to seeing the NBA in. And beyond that, because of the F1 race, there was no competing NBA game in that window either. So that window was also pretty light. The NASCAR race was not run until later due to rain. So you don't have to go up against the NBA. You don't have to go up against NASCAR. The only real competition is hockey on NBC. I know there was golf on CBS as well. I'm not trying to diminish it, but I wasn't blown away. I mean, you know, it's a great number. It's a tremendous number for F1, but there's some caveats there that, to me, make it a little bit less than an F1 story than a scheduling story.
Last one. Let's do hockey real quick. I think if you're the NHL and Gary Bettman, you got to be pumped. Your first round of your Stanley Cup playoffs averaged 934,000 viewers. That trails only 2012 as the most watched first round on record. If you want to sort of lay out one particular series, that Leafs-Bruins series was incredible in terms of viewership. Combining the two audiences of how many people watched in Canada and how many people watched in the United States, John, that Game 7 drew 10 million viewers. That's an incredible number for hockey. I mean, hockey does not get those kind of numbers. So I think, John, if we're talking a niche sport when it comes to viewership, but I think if you're the NHL, right, you got to be psyched at what you saw in your first round.
Well, I mean, what you're even more psyched about the fact that you're getting close to Bruins New York in the conference finals. And I think that for the NHL, not only is that a great series, you also are guaranteed New York or Boston in the Cup final, which is always a good thing to have. So I think, it's not going to take a lot to get to a five-year high for the Cup final this year, because obviously we know 2020, 21, 23 was on cable. So the only year you really have to beat is 22 in terms of a year that did well. And certainly if you get Boston versus anybody, New York versus anybody, all the games are on ABC. This could be one of the top Cup finals that we've really ever seen.
And what's interesting, John, is maybe unlike the Knicks, the Rangers are absolutely a draw. You would agree when it comes to an NHL viewership final, as are the Bruins.
Well, it is actually kind of similar to the Knicks historically.
I'm totally wrong. It's just the Bruins and the Blackhawks as the Red Wings guaranteed like winners, right?
I would just simply say that when New York played Los Angeles in the Cup Final back in 14, that was a great series, did well, but it wasn't on the level of, you know, Chicago-Boston. Right.
Although, but LA is not the greatest hockey market, but your point is well taken. So, wow. So this goes back to the whole NBC. Remember when the Blackhawks sort of like rode, yeah. NBC rode the Blackhawks viewership forever? So it's, that's the team really at the end of the day.
Well, Chicago or Boston, either Boston. One.
Okay. Oh, you're right. That's, I should check. Okay. So if you're in the NHL, maybe you're hoping for a long Bruins run, if nothing else for the Bruins to beat the Panthers.
Yes.
Who don't really bring you much viewership. And then obviously they get to. Yeah, Bruins Rangers. You know what? Not impossible, depending on the matchup, right? Bruins Rangers could outdraw the Stanley Cup.
No, I don't see that happening. Because remember, that's going to be 5 out of 7 games on ESPN. There'll be 2 on ABC. But compared to all 7 games being on ABC for the Cup Final, I don't.
Okay. I was going to say Brewers Canucks. You think Rangers. You don't think Rangers Bruins beats conference final, doesn't beat Bruins Canucks final?
No, because I think, you know, well, I mean, again, it's
complicated. You added a team because you don't get that market.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Canadian team is going to be a problem. But I do think that, one, we have a history of Bruins Canucks drawing, right? Go back to that Game 7. That was a...
That was the riot afterwards, yeah, too. Very famous night.
That was a record audience at that time for a game involving a Canadian team, over 8 million. So we know people will tune in under the right circumstances. And I just don't see a bunch of ABC games doing so poorly that games on cable that aren't even for the Cup Final would outdraw them.
Yeah, all right, I buy your argument. I think you're right. You're gonna check for you. All right, again, I promised a sort of a quick mini pod, and that'll be that. I'm always going to have John back on to when the NBA media rights breaks. I'll have John and probably Austin Karp on, and we'll go very, very deep. On that, and then we'll also monitor obviously how viewership will be over the course of these two playoffs. John, you know what I'm really looking forward to? I'm really looking forward to the viewership of Indiana, the Indiana Fever, New York Liberty, Saturday. I think it's May 18th, 1 p.m. ABC. I think that could set a record for the most watched WNBA regular.
Well, it definitely won't. I can tell you it definitely won't, because the record is like 5 million for the first game, New York.
Oh, okay. I checked. Okay, if we eliminate that back 96. Wherever, 94, what?
Well, the record was like the next day. I think it would be like over 3 million those first two games.
All right. Give me one for the non-opening
season.
Okay, well,
you got to keep in mind, the WNBA was an NBC for a lot of years.
Yeah. No, so you're right. All right, so the ESPN in the ESPN yes. era.
You will see the most watched WNBA games ever on ESPN. But you go back, just like with the NBA, if you go back to the NBC days, the numbers were a lot bigger back then.
Yeah, no, you're right. I always forget. I always have to. It's good for me to know, because I'll probably have to write for The Athletic, whatever that viewership number is. And it's good for me to remember that first debut season for the WNBA, they put up monster numbers on NBC. You know, there's so much excitement, you know, Lobo, Swoops, or... you know, whoever, Lisa Leslie, I forgot who played.
Yeah, New York and Los Angeles, so Lobo and Lisa.
Lobo, Lisa Leslie, yeah, there you go. Makes a lot of sense, given how big that team was back then. All right, John Lewis is the editor and founder of Sports Media Watch. I want to thank Patrick Antonetti for some emergency work today, as always, working hard, and I appreciate that very much. Check out all these kind of podcasts on our archives page. If you like it, please leave us a 5-star review and a nice note. Thanks to everybody at Odyssey for their support. Thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League Podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.